Vaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Good morning and Hare Krishna. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 23, which we just begun yesterday, entitled The Brahmana's Wives Blessed. Today we're starting verses 7 through 12. And just to situate where we are at in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadev Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit and describing how the cowherd boys in the company of Krishna and Balaram while tending the cows in Vrindavan became very hungry, and they asked Krishna to satisfy their hunger. Of course, the great Vaishnava commentators will explain that this is a ruse by the cowherd boys to really feed Krishna and Balaram, but they knew that if they tried to feed them directly, Krishna wouldn't accept. So Krishna instructs them to go to the sacrificial arena, where a group of brahmanas who are very learned in Vedic conjunction are performing the Angirasa fire sacrifice, and that they should ask them for food and charity. Krishna also tells them to make sure that they emphasize that they were sent directly by him and Lord Balaram. So here we're reading about the cowherd boy's plea to these brahmanas. However, we can see from the title of the chapter that this is only setting the scene for the true stars of this particular pastime, who are actually the wives of these brahmanas. So we can recite verse 7 together, and then I'll read the rest. Gascharayanta vavidura odanam. Ramachyuto bolasato bubukshito. Tayor dvija odanam arti noryadi. Shada chavoyat shata dharma vitama. Gascharayanta vavidura odanam. Ramachyuto bolasato bubukshito. Tayor dvija odanam arti noryadi. Srada chavoya chata dharma vitama. Gascharayanta vavidura odanam. Ramachyuto bolasato bubukshito. Tayor dvija odanam arti noryadi. Sadacha voyachata dharma vittama. Gascharayanta vavidura odanam. Ramachyuto bolasato bubukshito. Tayor dvija odanam arti noryadi. Sadacha voyachata dharma vittama. mothers.
Gasharayanta vavidura odanam.
Ramachuto vola sato bubuksito.
Tayor vijan artinor yadi.
Yatsa dharma vitama. Translation. Lord Ram and Lord Achyuta are tending their cows not far from here. They are hungry and want you to give them some of your food. Therefore, O Brahmanas, O best of the knowers of religion, if you have faith, please give some food to them. Purport. The cowherd boys doubted the generosity of the Brahmanas, and thus they used the word bubukshito, meaning that Krishna and Balaram were hungry. The boys expected the Brahmanas to know the Vedic injunction, anasya kshuditam patram. Anyone who is hungry is a fit candidate for receiving food in charity. But if the Brahmanas would not recognize the authority of Krishna and Balaram, their title dvija would be taken to mean merely born from two parents. Dvi means from two and ja means born, rather than twice born. When the Brahmanas did not respond to the cowherd boy's initial request, the boys addressed the Brahmanas with a slight trace of sarcasm as Dharmavit Tamaha, O best of the knowers of religion. Text 8.
Dikshaya pasu samstaya sotramanyas chasatama ananyatra dikshitasyapi nanam asnan hidusyati.
Translation. Except during the interval between the initiation of the performer of a sacrifice and the actual sacrifice of the animal, O most pure Brahmanas, it is not contaminating for even the initiated to partake of food, at least in sacrifices other than the Sotramani. Purport. The cowherd boys anticipated the possible objection from the Brahmanas that they couldn't give the boys any food because they themselves had not eaten yet, and that a priest initiated to perform a sacrifice should not eat. Therefore, the boys humbly informed the Brahmanas about various technicalities of ritualistic sacrifice. The cowherd boys were not unaware of the formalities of Vedic culture, but their real intention was simply to render loving service to Lord Krishna. Text number 9.
Iti te bhagavad yachnam srinvantopina surusu. Sudrasa buri karmano balisa vidamanina.
Translation. The Brahmanas heard this supplication from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet they refused to pay heed. Indeed, they were full of petty desires and entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves advanced in Vedic learning, they were actually inexperienced fools. Purport. These childish Brahmanas were full of petty desires, such as the desire to attain to material heaven, and therefore they could not recognize the golden transcendental opportunity offered them by the arrival of Krishna's personal boyfriends. Presently, throughout the world, people are madly pursuing material advancement, and thus cannot hear the message of the Supreme Lord Krishna that is being broadcast through the missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. Times have hardly changed, and proud materialistic priests are still prevalent on the earth.
Text 10 through 11. Deshad kala pritag dravyam mantra tantra tvijognaya devataya jamanascha kratur dharmascha jnanmaya tam brahma param asakjad Bhagavatam adokshajam manusya drishya duspragya martyatmano name nire.
Translation. Although the ingredients of sacrificial performance, the place, time, particular paraphernalia, mantras, rituals, priests, fires, demigods, performer, offering, and the yet and the as yet unseen beneficial results are all simply aspects of his opulence. The Brahmanas saw Lord Krishna as an ordinary human because of their perverted intelligence. They failed to recognize that he is the supreme absolute truth, the directly manifest personality of Godhead, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus, bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him proper respect. Purport. The ritualistic Brahmanas could not understand why the sacrificial food should be offered to Lord Krishna, whom they considered an ordinary human being. Just as a person with rose-colored glasses sees the entire world as rose-colored, a conditioned soul with mundane vision sees even God himself as mundane and thus loses the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. And last verse, text 12.
Nate yad omiti prokur naneti cha parantapa gopani rasa pratyeta tatochu krishna ramayo.
Translation. When the Brahmanas fail to reply even with a simple yes or no, O chastiser of the enemy, Parikshit, the cowherd boys returned disappointed to Krishna and Ram and reported this to them.
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of transcendental knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So yesterday, Trivikram Prabhu was describing some of the duties and qualities of Brahmanas. And today the world has changed. But at that time, the rituals described in the Vedas had great importance in maintaining a society. The Brahmanas were the equivalent of police. They would advise the Kshatriyas. They could decide on a person's life. And whatever they said was the law at the time. So the culture at that time was very ritualistic. We're at the junction between Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga, and as we know, sacrifices and rituals were the prescribed duty, the prescribed performance at the time. Am I right about that? Okay. animal sacrifices, such as the one they're doing, was only to be performed by very practiced brahmanas who were to revive the animal by chanting sacred mantras and could even afford it. Oh, Shyam Sundari is here, what a surprise. And could even afford the animal a human life for its future advancement. So the first thing that comes to mind when we read these verses is that here we're encountering brahmanas who you would expect to be manifesting the qualities of a devotee, such as humility, kindness, hospitality. They're the representatives of Krishna to society. But yet, these brahmanas haven't even acknowledged the arrival of the cowherd boys and haven't even answered their question with a simple yes or no. So surely they don't seem to realize that they were sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And why is this happening? Well, simply put, they've deviated from the essence of their practice. They got caught up in praying for material benedictions and seem more attracted to performing the ritual perfectly than to developing love of God. And we can see throughout the verses These brahmanas are described to have, they were full of petty desires, entangled in elaborate rituals. They're described as inexperienced fools. And later on in the chapter themselves, they will admit that they were infatuated with household affairs and completely deviated from the real aim of life. So historically, this is actually a very common problem. And the most extreme example would be how we have all this conflict and wars that originate from religious, they're religious wars. They originate from people who misidentify themselves with those rituals. Krishna either appears himself or sends his representative throughout times to show us the path back to him. And because it's a different set of circumstances in a different place with a different people and completely different ages, it will be presented in a different time according to the circumstances. So externally, these different religions may seem different, but the essence is always the same. It's about how do we develop love of God and come back to him. But what's happened is that people identify with the externals, those rituals. This is how we dress. This is how we pray. And unfortunately, when we miss the essence, we don't find the commonality that's there in all religions. And that's the source of conflict. On a more personal level, what causes us to become misdirected? Well, it's our material desires. We find so many examples. If you just turn on the television, you'll find religious advertisements that promote good health, prosperity. So we can see this is what people want. They want material benefits. Just like the brahmanas here who are said to have such petty desires and want to attain material heaven. Luckily, we know from the shastras that there are different planetary systems. Within the material world, there's the lower hellish planets, there's intermediary planets like planet Earth, and there's the higher or heavenly planets where you can have unlimited material accommodations. But these three worlds, as they're called, are still part of the material world, which is characterized by the cycle of birth and death, old age, disease, and the threefold miseries. Above these three planetary systems, you have the spiritual world, where you have unlimited joy and happiness in a loving relationship with Krishna. So the heavenly planets are actually not so interesting, but unfortunately, this is what most people pray for. They want happiness, material happiness in the material world, and they want material happiness when they go to heaven. The problem is that the relationship with Krishna is not so much emphasized. And what happens when we become too concentrated on ourselves? Well, we develop bad qualities. We can see here the cowherd boys, when they arrived, they fell to the ground and offered full prostrated obeisances. But yet, these brahmanas who haven't developed any Vaishnava qualities did not acknowledge them. But it's actually these qualities, Vaishnava etiquette, developing compassion, integrity, love for others, that are the doorway into the kingdom of God. So because of this, the brahmanas did not recognize Krishna and Balaram's names. They had a golden opportunity, but they totally missed it because they were too much blinded by their personal desires. So today's society is being cheated by such proud materialistic leaders. We have fake gurus we can see in so many different places. We have unqualified priests, unqualified leaders of society, heads of state, politicians. And yet so many people are searching. Even though not everybody may be visibly searching, such as studying different scriptures and trying to figure it out, everybody is searching. You can tell because there's always that, you can see that there's that underlying, disenchantment with human life in the material world. I meet so many people at work, and just talking to them, you can see some of them are very enthusiastic about figuring it out, and others, you can tell that even though they may not say it, that's really what's going on deep inside. They're looking to be happy and not be always frustrated by material life. And Krishna says, Mama Vart Manu Vartante Manusya Parta Sarvasya. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. So this is our constitutional position. Whether we realize it or not, we're all looking to go back to Krishna. But of course, the last place that most people are going to go look for Krishna is in religious institutions, because they've been let down. They're disappointed by these fake ritualistic brahmanas or priests. And there's this famous interview of Srila Prabhupada on television, I'm sure you've all seen it, where the interviewer asks, why do you think that so many young people today are interested in Eastern philosophy? Is it that they've been failed by the Western religions? And Prabhupada says, yes, I think so. So nothing is more inspiring than a true, bona fide, living example. And this is why people were so attracted to Krishna consciousness to begin with. And if I'm reading the Lilamrita right now, in the early days, it wasn't always the philosophy. In fact, a lot of the early devotees didn't even fully agree with Srila Prabhupada. They were, you know, they had preconceived ideas, impersonalism, and this and that. But yet, it was Srila Prabhupada that they completely fell in love with, because he is that pure, bona fide Brahmana, representative of Krishna, with all the loving qualities that they just simply could not resist. They totally fell in love with him. So why is it important to guard against these things? Well, if we don't, just like the Brahmanas, we may seem like perfect religionists, we may know all the rituals perfectly, we may be a perfect scholar who can quote from so many verses of Shastra, or be the perfect Christian who's accepted Jesus in his heart and goes to church every Sunday. But if we don't truly try to develop that personal relationship with God, then he may come knocking on our door and we won't be able to recognize him. And we certainly won't be able to attract other people towards him, which is the highest service. So we should be very careful about our intentions and understand that the rituals are simply an instrument which has no value if it's disconnected from its source. A good example is when we're chanting japa. If when our mind starts to wander, we just keep on going with cleaning the house or rearranging your CDs, or, you know, I can tell you so many things that I do while I chant. We're the ritualistic brahmanas if we're not careful. It's natural that our mind will wander, but we have to remember that this japa is meant to connect us with Krishna. So in reverse of that, if we offer our mantra, if we pray, my dear Krishna, I am so fallen, but you have so kindly appeared in your holy names and allowed it for everybody to chant freely. Now we're approaching the ritual with devotion, and we'll see the results. So the same ritual, but two different results. Either you will get Krishna's reciprocation, or just like the Brahmanas, as said in the verse, you will be stuck with the as yet unseen beneficial results. So we need to learn how to recognize Krishna when he's knocking on our door. For example, I have to be honest with you, I had kind of decided I wasn't going to volunteer to give class anymore. Because, first of all, I know absolutely nothing, and it takes me forever to prepare. And my mind is always telling me that I have way too many other things to do. And I usually get really stressed out about it. And I know maybe some other speakers might experience this. So I decided, all right, I'm just gonna give it up for some time at least. But then these sweet, sweet Vaishnavas over the last few months would come up to me and ask me, well, when are you gonna give class again? We would really enjoy when you give class. And that's simply irresistible, because the Vaishnavas are the representatives of Krishna. And when they come to us and ask us for service, just like the cowherd boys coming to the brahmanas, that's Krishna. That's Krishna knocking on our door, giving us a golden opportunity. So we can see that Krishna is actually trying to reciprocate with us all the time. And if we can uncover ourselves from so much contamination of being conditioned through so many lives in the material world, we can see that even the most difficult situations are Krishna's loving exchange. Not too long ago at the Krishna house, they were studying the instructions of Bhishma Dev. The brahmanas here, they know how to perfect the rituals of fire sacrifice to the, you know, all the I's are pointed and all the T's are crossed, absolutely perfect. But yet, they did not see Krishna when he came asking them for service. But Bhishma Dev, because he was a pure devotee and could see Krishna and understand his leela, he was fighting Krishna to the death during the battle of Kurukshetra. He was shooting arrows at Krishna. And ultimately, he died on a bed of arrows. Bhishma was shot by so many warriors. But in that, he was experiencing the most amazing ecstasy in that loving exchange of actually fighting Krishna trying to kill him. So we can see how it goes to such extremes. You know, you may be the perfect religionist, apparently, but totally miss the point. Or if you're a real devotee, you might be engaged by Krishna in the most amazing ways, even fighting with him in a battle, and experience the most highest forms of ecstasy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Avajananti mam mudha manusim tanumasritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the supreme lord of all that be. So this is what's happening to the brahmanas here. They don't recognize that this young boy is Krishna. And there's many examples like this. Lord Brahma was covered by his pride as the creator. He was bewildered. He could not understand that this little boy Krishna was the supreme person. And so he tried to test him by stealing his cowherd boy's friends, and then Krishna totally proved them wrong by making them reappear, and Brahma, even though he had four heads, was completely bewildered. So he could easily recognize Krishna as Vishnu, because Vishnu, you can see all the universes are emanating from him, so that's obvious. This is God. But Krishna, as a little boy, it's not so easy. You have to be a pure devotee like Bhishma Dev to understand this. Other examples are the Kauravas during the Battle of Kurukshetra. Would they even fight against the army that had Krishna on their side if they understood that he was God? Probably not. During Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there's many examples of this. 500 years ago, what was the big news at the time? Christopher Columbus was discovering America. But yet, at that same time, God himself was present on planet Earth. No wonder he didn't find the real India, because he had the wrong intentions. So we're very lucky to have Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the pastimes of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita that explains the philosophy of who we are, how the world works, who is God, how do all these things interact, and a Krishna conscious lifestyle, which gives us guidelines on how to recognize Krishna in our daily life. So I'm going to try to go in a little bit deeper into these verses now. And we can see that if we look a little bit more closely, there's another side to these brahmanas. After all, they're residents of Vrindavan. They're part of Krishna's circle, aren't they? When we offer our food every day, we chant, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, who is the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas. So the brahmanas have a very special place in Krishna's heart. They're very dear to him. And actually, no one living in Vrindavan is not a bhakta. You can't enter into Krishna's association if you're not. Even the demons we can see in Vrindavan were bhaktas. If you study their previous lives, you'll see that all these demons had a previous relationship with Krishna, and they were actually very pure devotees who were given a particular role, but they had the great fortune of being killed as demons by Krishna himself, and then were immediately liberated back to the spiritual world. So the brahmanas are actually very elevated devotees because they're a part of Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan. But how is it possible that they would be so mindless? How could they forget even for a second their relationship with Krishna? Well, an easy answer would be to say that they were covered by yoga maya, just like Arjuna was. And though that may be true, it may seem to us like a literary device to teach us a lesson, and that doesn't really, it makes it hard for us to relate to them as real people. But they were real people with real lives, but their bhakti was tainted. There's bhakti that is tainted with knowledge or tainted with desire for the fruits of results. This is karmakanda and jnanakanda. This yajna that they were performing is actually a karmakanda ritual. That's part of the Vedas. So, but because they were in the material world, the brahmanas, they were concerned with material affairs. And we can't blame them for that. They're at the junction between these two ages of Dwapara and Kali Yuga, and they had to perform these Vedic rites in order to maintain society, maintain themselves and their families. The sages at Naimisharanya actually gathered for the same reason. They were concerned for the welfare of the earth as the age of Kali was approaching. So they all had to perform these brahminical duties. Similarly, we could compare that as an institution, we may be worried about the future of Krishna consciousness. And we may also get caught up in the institutional affairs, just like the brahmanas got caught up in the rituals. So, as we will see in later verses, the heart of this chapter is that Krishna says, go talk to your wives and learn from them. Trust me and realize that I'm the one who's in control of everything. There's a similar story with the residents of Vrindavan when they're praying to Lord Indra. They had to maintain their agriculture so they could feed everybody. So they would pray to Lord Indra to have proper weather to feed their crops. And Krishna one day came and said, no, why are you worshiping Indra? Worship me. I'm the source of everything. So here we can see something similar where ultimately in this chapter, Krishna teaches the brahmanas that like their wives, they can find shelter in being surrendered to Krishna. And when we realize that we don't have to put so much effort into the facilities of maintaining ourselves, that opens up our world to a whole other set of opportunities in which we can really begin to see Krishna. We can see in the Bhagavad Gita that after the first four chapters where Krishna is explaining the basics of how to, you're not the body, you're the eternal soul. This is how material creation works. He lays the foundation for Arjuna. And then after that, from the fourth chapter on till the very last chapter, it's always about come to me, time after time. Krishna is repeating this to Arjuna until in the very last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityaja mamekam saranam braja aham tvam sarvapadevyo mokshayisyami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So sometimes we get caught up in the responsibilities of our daily life, and we tend to forget Krishna sometimes. Is that a bad thing, to be a responsible householder? No, but we should carve our life in such a way that we do make time for Krishna. And how do we regulate ourselves so that with all responsibilities we don't become like these ritualistic brahmanas? Well, I don't know if you remember Mother Agatmika, who used to live here. I think she lives in Mayapur now. When I first started coming to the Alachua temple years ago, I was just a young lad and just got started in my career. And one day I was sitting at the prasadam table with her, and she said something that really stuck with me till this day. It was so simple. Just make Krishna your priority. Understand that Krishna should be the priority in your life. And when we really grasp that idea, then it's so simple to include him in all of our activities, be it just meditating on him throughout the day, or getting up and first thing in the day after we shower, offering some puja to our deities. There's so many ways. Krishna says, yat karoshi yadasnani, yat juhosi dadasyat, yat tapasyasi konteya, tat kurusva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So that's what we call Krishna consciousness. The rules and regulations, they're actually just the very beginning. Prabhupada explains that following the four regulative principles of no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex are just what will bring us to the level of human. And actually, finding Krishna takes a lot more than that, and it's a lot more exciting of a journey than just following the regulative principles. So it's really worth it to figure this one out based on our particular life circumstances, and to do whatever it takes to nourish that love and desire to always be with Krishna. And chanting Krishna's name is the best process to do this, because in this crazy world that we're living in, it's such a portable and simple process. And if we commit to some daily chanting, even if we don't enjoy it, surely we will become purified. And from there we begin to see Krishna in all of our situations, and we find ultimate joy and happiness. And that's what I had prepared for you today. I hope it inspired me, preparing it for 24 hours straight. So I hope this is of some value. If there's any questions and comments. Mataji in the back.
Thank you. It's a very nice class, very well prepared. It was worth it. I wonder your statement about the when a devotee asks you to do something, see it as Krishna's asking. And I guess my cheating mentality. I think about that. Like, I don't know how literally to take that. And are there times where maybe, you know, you have to cut back a little on if you're doing some service, or should you always keep trying to maintain everything that you're doing?
I understand. I think, you know, we should always be realistic and use common sense in everything that we do, because living in a community like Alachua, you can have everybody asking you for some service, and you'll get very caught up, and you won't be able to take care of your family and so on. So Of course, we should balance our lives properly, give appropriate attention to household affairs and to devotional service and serving the Vaishnavas. Both of these things are very important and are both integral parts of our spiritual life. But we should recognize in ourselves, like you said, you recognize a cheating propensity sometimes. We all have that within us. And so we should be able to distinguish, when is it my personal, selfish, oh, I'd rather go do this than do some service, as opposed to, I really can't do this right now, I'm very sorry, Prabhu. Please, I'm very grateful, but unfortunately, I have something that I have to do. So, I'm sure everybody can understand, and whoever's asking for the service will understand if we respond properly. Is that a hand behind the plant? Who is this? Oh my goodness. If I knew you were there, I would have really messed up.
That's Krishna's arrangement. I think also that instruction from Raghatmika Prabhu, although it pertained to making Krishna the priority, it also applies in terms of making services. You know, that it almost assumes that what you're already doing isn't service. Someone's coming and asking you to do service, and so it must be some mental inebriety that says, well, I can't do that, I have to do this. But I'm doing service, and I want to add more service. So we have to constantly be prioritizing, isn't it? That it seems like we have to consider, because you like taking care of your family, that's also service. Taking mm-hmm. care of your children, that's also service. And, you know, we have so many services.
Right.
So.
Yes. To go back to my example of, you know, giving class, Shesha Prabhu actually instructed me that this kind of stress is actually good stress because it's for Krishna. And we won't make advancement in our spiritual lives if we don't step out of our comfort zone. We have to stretch that envelope in order to make advancement. So yes, that's a very important point to keep in mind also. Otherwise we become complacent and we may think, yes, I'm chanting my 16 rounds and I'm doing my puja, but really we're stuck in some plateau of daily life. Even though it includes devotional life, we're not really getting to closer to Krishna, because I like what my father said last time he gave class, Krishna consciousness has unlimited layers to uncover, and it's actually limitless. Our love for Krishna and, you know, the way we come to him and the way we discover him in our daily lives, it's unlimited. And the more we stretch out of that comfort zone, the more we uncover these amazing layers of our love of God. Yes, Prabhu?
Haribo, very nice. So we see that the Brahmanas, they were very busy in the rituals, and they actually lost the goal, you know. Even us in Krishna consciousness too, even within this community, we have so many devotees around. But sometimes we find that the temple is almost empty. You know, can you say something on that point?
That's for senior Vaishnavas to answer to. just like we were saying, I'm sure there's both reasons. Pushkar Prabhu, I think, is around. When I first moved here, I heard Pushkar Prabhu saying the same thing. This temple is always empty. There's 1,000 devotees in this community. Hari Bol, here he is. I see he's interested now. So when I heard Pushkar say that, I was like, well, I'm not going to be one of them. And I was coming here every single day, and I was so enthusiastic. I hadn't been in a devotee community since Gurukul. It's been like 20 years. So I was so happy to finally move to a devotee community. And I was thinking, I'm finally going to be able to do spiritual life. That's what it is. Spiritual life is going to the temple and doing all these rituals. But then I realized that you know what, I got a job that's got crazy hours, I have a family, I have a disabled daughter that I have to help my wife with, and it was totally impossible. I was totally burnt out, and I got depressed about it, and I had to get some guidance from, you know, senior devotees, Shesha Bubu, Haribo, who helped me in figuring how to balance my life. So I'm sure there's, and that helped me understand why is this temple so empty. So I'm sure that's a valid reason so many people aren't here, because they do have many responsibilities, and I give them full credit and understanding, and I'm sure that many devotees that we do not see in the temple are actually very good devotees who are practicing their sadhana in whatever way they possibly can. On the other hand, I'm sure there's also, and I'm an example myself, some devotees who are complacent, and they're more caught up in having fun and doing this and that, and aren't really grasping the importance that we could die at any second, and that's why we don't see them. So I'm sure there's a mix. Yes, Prabhu. I love Pushkar, that's all I have to say. Mother Mahamaya?
I just
got the mic. Kalyapani has the microphone.
Just a quick comment. I heard that Mother Ragatmika and her family are moving back to Alachua from Mayapur.
Wow, very bold, that's so nice.
Their boy is 14 now.
Yeah, I remember their little boy. Well, I look forward to seeing them.
Yes, Ragatmika will be here in a month.
Nice.
The point that you made about the husbands taking advice or, you know, respecting the women as more advanced, I mean, this whole concept is just so, I don't know, foreign in ISKCON. And at least that's my experience, and we know that the husband is supposed to be the guru, so then when we see this example of the reverse happening, where the wives are more advanced, it immediately brings to mind, to me, the controversial subject of women becoming gurus, which has been approved by the GBC, but the concept has been approved, but they haven't actually approved of any woman becoming guru, even though there are women who they admit are qualified. They still haven't actually allowed that to happen. And then we have a group of men who are objecting, loudly objecting to the GBC the concept of women becoming gurus. They're even objecting to that. They think it should be revoked, you know, the GBC resolution. So I don't know. This is what comes to mind whenever I read this chapter.
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good point. The managerial aspect of such ISKCON laws, personally, I feel are way out of my league. Maybe when I'm in my 40s, I hope I can serve in whatever way Krishna wants me to. But it's true that in the scriptures we find different sets of instructions that can seem contradictory. And I guess the best thing I would say is you have something to back it up right here. You know, whether it's one aspect of the scriptures or another, it's in black and white right here that these wives of the brahmanas were the example to follow. So we can certainly use that as an inspiration to, you know, trust in our lady senior devotees and take shelter and advice from them as well. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Just something quick. Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to listen to your class. I was just thinking about, you know, how stepping outside your comfort zone and, you know, you and your wife and daughter were able to come today, how nice that is, and how I think sometimes if everyone just did that, you know, everyone's very busy. I know when I'm teaching, I'm not able to come to Bhagavatam class, but during the summer when I can come, it's really amazing. I mean, what a difference it makes in my life, you know, just being able to come and sit with devotees and ask questions and, you know, give comments. Because I think for devotees, there are some devotees who come every day no matter what, and it's slightly disheartening for them when the numbers are so few. So even if the people, you know, at home came, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, I think they would see how enlivening it is, you know, for themselves and also for others. So that was just a comment.
Yes, absolutely. We can make a grand announcement to everybody to please make some time to come and associate with the Vaishnavas, because we certainly can't discuss. It gives us, like you said, so much support, you know, even if it's just once a week. That once a week is really what's going to get us through the rest of the week when we're dealing with so many material vibes, you know, work or responsibilities. So, yes, thank you.
Just to kind of tack on to that, it seems like as devotees we should have personal goals, and, you know, if I'm doing a certain amount of service, you know, for a certain amount of time, then I need to kind of look at that, and maybe every 3 or 4 months or every year or whatever, I need to look again and see, okay, well, now let me do a little bit more, and, you know, as you were saying, push the envelope and kind of gradually make sure that I'm doing more and more, at least doing it to more in depth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Mother Mahamaya is saying it's a Jewish tradition to talk through bushes. I'm sorry, Mother Lakshmi Moni. Oh, not for a long time.
6 years.
Let's not put a time limit on this, please.
Brief comment, Prabhu Haribo.
Yes, Haribo.
I was going to also say that my Guru Maharaj Bhakti Tirtha Swami had actually also suggested that devotees rotate services to do each other's service so that they would have more respect for each other and the services that we are all doing, except for me.
Yeah, it's always a good thing to do. Another question over here.
Yeah, like when we seek Godhead and people don't understand, or, you know, because there are so many religious wars and things like that in our day and age, how should we go about helping those people to understand that it's not about the material value at all? How do we approach them without making a conflict?
Well, that is our responsibility as devotees, is to develop that ability. And that doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes with a lot of trying and practice to actually reach out to people. So that's one thing. You have to actually just do it. Just go out there and do it. And sure, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to turn some people off and some may be inspired. But it's as you do this that you will actually develop the skills to be very attractive. That's another point. What is most attractive to people is an example. You know, you can teach so much more by who you are than by so many words. As far as the conflicts, it's not easy. A lot of people feel like if they betray their own religious tradition, they're gonna totally, you know, lose it and go to hell. So some people, it's very hard to break through that wall. But it's very important to find ways to point out the commonalities between all the different faiths and show that, hey, we're doing the same thing as Hare Krishnas, as what the Christians are doing and the Muslims and the Jews. It's all the same thing. We're all trying to get closer to God and love Him. So if you can find the language to point that out in a non- you know, aggressive way and always making people comfortable around you, you'll certainly achieve the goal. And of course, if you can give them some of Prabhupada's books, all the work will be done for you. A little bit, what was that?
Transcendental leverage.
Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.